Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's good to come together and praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah.
And adored. I've got that room, eh? Hallelujah. I want to deal with this morning. Some of the Lord's been just ministering to me over the last month or so. And it's on the, what I call God's agenda. I don't know whether you realize this, perhaps you do, perhaps you don't, that God has an agenda for every one of our lives. And I want to just share just a little bit about God's agenda this morning. And I just want to take one verse from the Old Testament, really as a text verse this morning. And that's in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, and verse 15. Exodus 14, verse 15. Before we read that verse, let me just give you a little bit of background into where we are in the account in Exodus. You know, God sent Moses into Egypt. And his instruction was this, to tell Pharaoh to let his people go into the land that God had called him to go to. As you know what happened, you know, Pharaoh refused, and then after a while, you know, through the hand of Moses, God performed miraculous signs. You know, the scriptures identify them as plagues. Miraculous signs that God did in the land of Egypt in order to get his people out. Unusual signs. Just want you to remember that word this morning. Unusual signs. Now, I don't think Exodus gives it that title. But that's the title I've given it. Unusual signs in Egypt. And eventually after the 10th plague, the plague of death, Pharaoh relented and said, okay, you get out. You know, he basically kicked them out of the land. He wasn't going to just let them go. He said, look, he said, I'm taking you out. And so they went, they left, and then Pharaoh changed his mind. His heart was hard, and he said, look, so what have we done? We've let them go. Our workforce are slaves. They've gone. So let's go get them back. So he set off after them. This is really where we pick up chapter 14, because God's people are now, they're on their way, they're on the move. You know, God's brought them out of Egypt. They've come out, as we often make reference to, they've come out very rich. They've been blessed. You know, they plundered the Egyptians of their silver, their gold, their fine linen, their materials, their jewelry, and anything else that they could carry. They took it with them. And now, in chapter 14, they are faced with a naturally insurmountable problem. They've done what God has told them to do, or should I say, they've been led to do what God wants them to do. And now they're faced with a naturally insurmountable problem. They're faced with the Red Sea. They don't like the situation, because we can read that in verse 12. You know, they said to Moses, look, didn't we say that while we was in Egypt that it would be better for us to stay here? Now you've brought us out into this place, this wilderness, or we're going to die. Because I guess they knew by now that Pharaoh's armies were on their tails. They didn't like it. And they long to go back to Egypt. I want to read verse 15 because this is the scripture Moses, why do you cry to me? They were crying, they were complaining, they were grumbling. You know, why have you brought us into this place? Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. That's God's agenda for his people. Go forward. But we can't. No, that's not what the scripture says. You know, they said, we can't do this. God says, go. Go forward. In other words, he says, get moving. Now, taking the liberty just to put a couple of some of the world translations of the scriptures so you can see what it says. This is the New Living Translation. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. You know, that's God's agenda. We get moving. Get doing what God has called us to do. You know, God's people here were so busy thinking about what had happened in the past. So busy looking back to Egypt. Yes, we were enslaved in Egypt. We were held captive. But we had food to eat in Egypt. There was drink in Egypt. We weren't faced with death on a daily basis. Now we're standing here in the middle of the wilderness. We've got the Red Sea in front of us. We've got nothing to go on to. God's promised something, but it doesn't look like he's able to deliver it because we've got this problem here, this big problem. And God told them to get moving. Go forward. Don't stop. And then God gave Moses instructions. And he says, lift up the rod, stretch it out over the sea. You know, the scripture tells us here in Exodus 14 that God blew with an east wind all night long. You know, when the morning came, there was a path blown through the Red Sea. It just goes to show that overnight God can change a situation. Overnight God can change a situation. But he wants us to listen to what his agenda is. His agenda is go forward. Get moving. You know, we can look at naturally insurmountable problems and say, well, we can't do it this way, we can't do it that way. And most of that's based on experience. Because we've perhaps gone that way before, we know that way's been blocked. You know, you hear it a lot in churches. No doubt we've been the same in the past. Well, we get an idea that we want to do something like reach out to an area, and we think, well, let's leaflet the area. But then someone says, well, we can't do that because we've done that before and it don't work. That's not what God says. God says, get moving. Go forward. Do what I've told you to do. You know, God called his people out of Egypt and he told them where they were going. They had a destination. They were going to the promised land. Their destiny was not to die on the shores of the Red Sea. So that's why he told them to go forward. You know, the moment you start moving forward to where God's told you to go, those problems, scripture puts it on it, you know, at the presence of the Lord, the hills melt like wax. One of the Old Testament prophets say that. You know, when you go forward, God's got a sort of a way that he just steps in and blows away through the sea. When you've got a problem facing you, and he tells you to go, the moment you, while they stood on the seashore, the sea was flat and level. When Moses lifted up his rod, and started to go, that sort of faith action to go forward, then God blew with a wind through the sea. And then the whole company of Israel went forward on dry land, the scripture says. But did you know there was another instance in the life of God's people? 40 years later, they spent time wandering in the wilderness. 40 years later, Moses dies. You know, he's not allowed, God says, you can't go into the promised land. No, you didn't believe me. A Moses died in the wilderness. And then God raised up Joshua. Oh, I love Joshua. You know, there's two Old Testament men that I really like to read about and like to study and look at their lives. One of those is Abraham, the other one's Joshua. You know, one of Joshua, he's a relatively young man compared to Moses. Moses was, at the time of his death, 120 years old, or thereabouts. He didn't start, he didn't even go into Egypt to bring God's people out until he was 80. Then he spent 40 years in the wilderness. Then he died at about 120 years old. And then Joshua, a relatively young man, took over the leadership of God's people. And Joshua's destiny was to lead God's people into Canaan. But before they could enter into Canaan, guess what they had? Another problem. Another stretch of water. Not the Red Sea this time it was the River Jordan. And the River Jordan was a... You say, well, it's just a river. No, it wasn't just a river. The River Jordan was a fast-flowing river. It burst its banks regularly. You know, at certain times, you know, I believe the Jordan River gets some three times its width. You know, it bursts its banks, maybe more than that. You're in Joshua 3. Perhaps we can just turn to Joshua 3 this morning. Just want to read the first 5 verses. Don't forget, God as a supernatural, well, that's the wrong word. God has a knack, a supernatural knack of getting away through the problem. He blew away through the Red Sea. And let's see what he said he's going to do at Jordan. Joshua 3 verse 1 says this. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying this: when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. There shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. There God tells them, he began to tell them then how they're going to cross the Jordan. But look at what the scripture says in verse 3. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Let me show you another modern translation, the New International Version. Today's International Version. There it says it. Giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. There God tells us, move. When you see the Ark beginning to move, you've got to move. You've got to follow it. You know, when we see God moving, we've got to move. We've got to rise up and move. That was God's instruction to his people. When they're faced with the Red Sea, get moving. When they're faced with Jordan, move. Follow the Ark. And that's God's agenda. Whenever we are, wherever we are, we've got to be following what God has on his agenda. God's agenda is always moving. God is always moving. God's never stationary. He never settles down. He doesn't come to a place and build up a home and say, well, that's it. God's always moving. And that's how we've got to be, always on the move. And when we get with God's agenda, we will see great wonders. It says, tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you, verse 5 says. When we begin to move, God's going to do great wonders. Very often we wait for God to do the great wonders before we move, and that's not the way He has it. He says, you move, then I'll bless that. Yeah, now, I know God may move and sort of lead us and guide us. We may, by the way He moves and works in our midst and in our situations, He might be showing us the way to move. But we've got to make sure we move. That's the key word. We've got to move. And you'll see this word keep coming out time and again through the scriptures. Move. Go. Whenever God told His people to be still, you know, there's those, He said it at the Red Sea, says, look, says, stand still. It always was followed by, now move. Stand still and see this, or stand still and wait, or be still and receive something, but then you've got to move. You've got to actually go. And that's God's agenda for you and God's agenda for me. We've got to actually move and get with what He's doing. I want to look at two more scriptures this morning. First one of those is in the second book of Samuel. This is the account of another great man of God, David. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And guess what we're going to see in this reading? We're going to see David moving. Okay. 2 Samuel 5 verse 17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went off to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Now here we see a situation where the enemies, the Philistines, come up against David. And David goes down to the stronghold, the place, the fortress, you know, the place of safety, where he can, I believe, hear what God is saying. Because that's what it says. It says while he's in the fortress, while he's in the strong place, and that should tell us something. You know, when we're faced with a problem, let's run to the strong place. Where's the strong place? The Lord is the strong place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, as Psalm says. The righteous run to it, and they're safe. You know, when we're faced with a problem, let's go to the strong place. The place where we can hear what God wants us to do. Any army on the battlefield, they don't just go from place to place. There's regular communication with their commanding officer. And he gets regular communication from his commanding officer. You know, they're always listening, always hearing, what's the next move? You know, when the commanding officer says, go, they go. When he says, I want you to move over there, they move over there. Now we need to near hear what God is saying. And that's something we can learn from the life of David. And, you know, in this, when the enemy were coming up against him, verse 19 says, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? David's not taking anything for granted here. He's saying, look, God, he says, my enemies are at the doorstep. He says, do you want me to go out after them? He said, then if I go, he says, are you going to deliver me to my house? I don't want to go and be defeated. I want to know what you want me to do. And God says, go. Or God says, move. For I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. Let me put that scripture up in there. This is the New Living Translation. David asked the Lord, should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord replied, yes, go ahead. There's God's agenda. Go ahead. Get moving. I will certainly give you the victory. David named that place Baal Perazim because the Lord broke through. The Lord has broken through my enemies before me. You know, when we go, when we move, when we get with God's agenda, we come to the place, we can say that place is Baal Perazim because the Lord will break through. What does that scripture say? You know, we sing it in that song, that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. You know, when the enemy stands at the door, God will make a way. God will break through. You know, when God breaks through, there's great power. Unusual things take place. Strange miracles happen when God breaks through. Just think of a dam that blocks off a great reservoir. If it's broken through, there's a great force of power as the water comes through. And anything that gets in the way of that flow of water, you know, won't survive. When we move, we know God as the Lord of the breakthrough. And He breaks through stubborn situations. He broke through the Red Sea. He broke through the Jordan River. And we didn't touch on it, but that's what happened. The ark went down to them as they put their feet in the water. The priests put their feet in the water. God, just as He did at the Red Sea, separated the river. So they went through on dry ground. When we know, when we move, we know God is the Lord of the breakthrough. I will just quickly read this scripture in the book of Isaiah. There's a reference in my Bible in that verse to Isaiah chapter 28. And that talks about what God did at Baal Perazim. I just want to read three verses. Isaiah 28 verse 21 says, the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that He may do His work, His awesome work, and bring to pass His act, His unusual act. See, when God moves, He brings to pass unusual acts, awesome works. Verse 23 says this, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods when he has leveled its surface? Does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows and the barley in the appointed place and the spelt in its place? For He instructs him in the right judgment. His God teaches it. You know, there comes a time when we've got to stop plowing the ground and sow the seed. A farmer does not continually plow and turn over the ground. Then he goes out a month later and turns it over again. And then he goes out again and turns. He's got to stop plowing. He's got to actually plant the seed in the ground. And there comes a time for us as the people of God that we stop resting and we stop waiting and we start moving. And when we move, God moves with mighty acts. You know, in the life of David, you know, David had just encountered a great victory. You know, God had given him victory over the Philistines. But that scripture goes on. says that David went to Baal-perazim and David defeated them there and said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Notice they came back. God gave them a great victory, but as soon as that victory was over, there was another attack. You know, somebody else came against them. The Philistines came against them again. Another deployment of them. And David, what's he do? As he always did. And that's something we must learn about David. But he found out what was on God's agenda for the situation. David inquired of the Lord. And this time God said to him, "You shall not go up, but circle around behind them, and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees." Then listen to the words. "Then you shall advance quickly." In other words, then when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, then you've got to move. "For the Lord will strike out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." The Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. His instruction was to David, wait until you get the signal. This is again the New Living Translation. It says, "It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance." Sorry, that's the New King James Version. "Then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." Advance quickly. Wait for the sound of marching in the treetops. Advance quickly. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe this is of the Spirit of God, as the Lord quickened it to me the other day. You know, there is a sound in the treetops already. You know, if you are moving in the things of the Spirit, you will hear the sound, what God's doing. And that sound, that spiritual moving, marching. You know, there's a lot of people talk about this, and they're saying they're hearing there's something in the Spirit, and it's a time to move. God's calling his people to move, to rise up and to get with what he's doing, what he wants to do. You know, today is the moving day. It's the day for moving. It's the day for get going. It's the day for advance. It's the day to go forward. You know, I purposely, just a couple of weeks ago, put on the front of the bulletin that we're doing now. I want to resurrect the bulletin. And on the front of that bulletin, purposely got those words, reaching forward, pressing on, because that's what we've got to be doing. We've got to reach forward. We've got to go on. We've got to forget. This is what Paul says in Philippians 3. This is my final verse. Philippians 3, let me just read it to you, so I can get the actual words right. Philippians 3. Paul here says, look, he says, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me." I press on. Paul says, I'm going forward. I'm pressing on. I want the prize that God's got for me. I want the results. I want the victory. I want the blessing. And I'm pressing toward it. He says, "Brethren," he says, "I don't count myself to have apprehended." In other words, I don't count myself to have got there yet. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then he says this, "Therefore let us," that's you and me, "as many as are mature, have this mind." This has got to be our mind, our purpose, that we're going to press on, we're going to go forward. We forget those things that are in the past, forget those things that are behind, we forget Egypt, we forget the wilderness. There's nothing in Egypt that we want, or we should desire. There's nothing in the wilderness that's got any sustenance. The wilderness was just a passing through place. And maybe in our own experience, we've perhaps had a little bit of wilderness experience, but it's just a a passing through place. We're not camping there. We're not building houses in the wilderness. We've got to press on. We've got to go forward. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We've got to forget Gorefield. Don't mean forget it in the sense of it's our history. We're here. This is where we are. We do remember what God has done for us, but we don't hanker for it. It's so easy for us to say, well, it wasn't like that in Gorefield. We didn't do that in Gorefield. It was better in Gorefield. This is now. We're pressing on. We're going forward. God's agenda for us to move on, never to go back. God never called his people to go back. He always told them to go on. He's bringing us on into something else. Something better. God's given us a land of good things. We've got to go forward. We've got to move on. We've got to press in to see God move and work in this place, in our lives. You know, this morning, you know, as we just come to the end of our, towards the end of that service, you know, I believe that's a message from the Spirit of God. You know, I heard it in the week, I heard it a few weeks ago. Moving on, pressing on, reaching forward. I want to strive to go on with God. And there's nothing in this, the old life that should be attractive. We've left that behind. We gave that to, we laid that down, we put that to death. We crucified that, and we came to the Lord. Amen. So there's nothing back there that we could want, we could go back to. That's Egypt. There's nothing in the wilderness that we should want to go back to. We should be set our sights on Canaan, on the promised land, where we're going, and run the race accordingly. You know, as we bring our service to close, perhaps we can just sing a song. It's an old song. It says, the Lord has given a land of good things. I will press in and make the mine. I know his power, I know his glory, and in his kingdom I will shine. With the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. Perhaps if somebody just jump on the computer and change the verse when we get there. two-edged sword. A two-edged sword to the Word of God in our hand. We're marked right up to the victory side, right into Canaan's land. You know, we're all here in the land of good things. Let's make that a confession. But we're going to press in and make them ours. We'll know His power. We'll know His glory. Because He's Lord of the breakthrough. He's Lord of the breakthrough. All He wants to do is go forward. Press in. Reach forward. Press in. Make an advance quickly. That scripture says. When you hear the sound. You know, and there's a sound of a moving already. We've got to rise now and advance and go on.